of our summer series on the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, it was written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he can give us eternal life. That's why John wrote it. And this is part 8 in that series. I can't believe we're already at 8 in the series. Last week, we were in John chapter 5. Pastor Jay talked about the first half of John 5, where Jesus walked into a place that was just full of people that were broken, needed healing. And he walked in, he walked to a man, and he told the man to get up, pick up his mat, and go and leave the place. And the man did. He got up, picked up the mat, and walked out. And we saw what happened. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders who were around were mad as a snake at what he did, because he did it on the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to pick anything up and walk with it. It made them so mad. I mean, their accusation to Jesus was, who do you think you are to cause this man to break a Sabbath rule? Who do you think you are? You're not supposed to pick anything up and walk with it on the Sabbath. Never mind that the guy was healed of 30-something years of being lame. His whole life was changed. Oh, forget that. He got his life back, but he broke a rule. He broke a rule. By the way, Jesus was fed up with those made up rules. But that rule wasn't in the Old Testament. That wasn't in the law. It was a rule the Pharisees made to, I guess, to control the people a little more. Just for control. It was one of their made up laws. And Jesus was sick and tired of it. He was tired of it. Tired of their stupid rules. And Jesus, because he was fed up, decided this is the day to drop a truth bomb on them. You know what a truth bomb is? It's when somebody says something that blows you away, all right, that you weren't expecting. I remember when I was I was 15 years old, I had my driver's permit, so I was practically an adult grown man, and it was time for the Valentine's banquet in my hometown, and I had invited Sheila to go to the Valentine banquet with me, and so I went to my dad and I said, Dad, when I take Sheila to the Valentine banquet, can I drive? He said, sure, I'll just sit in the back. I said, no. I mean, can I just sort of drive? Since in 2 months later, I'll have my driver's license. Can I just drive? And he goes, no, you don't have a driver's license. And I says, well, you didn't take a driver's test. He goes, there wasn't such thing as a driver's test in 1932. He said, no, you're not. I said, Dad, a lot of my friends' parents, they're letting them do it, and they're just 15. I named my friends that were doing that. And I said, I just don't understand why they can do stuff. Their parents let them do it, but you won't let me. And my dad dropped this truth bomb on me. He said, well, I just guess I love my son more than they love theirs. What do you say when your face just got blown off by a truth bomb? My dad told me how much he loved me. He was not going to raise me in a way to where we just disobey the law because it feels right. Wow, that was a truth bomb. Well, that's where Jesus was. Now let's look at our text today, okay? John chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. In John chapter 5, we see Jesus make a bold claim, a bold claim. When they asked him, why are you healing this man on the Sabbath, he had an answer. But when he said, my Father is always at work, when he said that, they just about freaked out. My Father? If he had said, the Father, or if he had said, our Father, but he said, my Father is at work. He was claiming to be the offspring of God, God in the flesh. Jesus was saying, I'm not a Moses, I'm not an Elijah, I'm not a Joseph, I'm not an Abraham, I'm God. That's what he was saying. It was a massive truth bomb from the mouth of Jesus. Boom! I could just hear him gasp when he said it. It was a bold claim. And you know what they did? That's a lie. They called it a lie. They called it a lie. So we have to ask ourselves this question today. Did Jesus lie? Or was Jesus telling the truth? Was it truly a truth bomb? Was Jesus who he said he was? Or was he an imposter? Now, we're in a church. I know you're not going to say, yeah, he's an imposter. But the world says that. There have been a lot of imposters, some famous ones. You remember there was a lady named, let's see, her name was Anna Anderson. She grew up in Europe, and then she came to the United States, and she had been in an orphanage, and they didn't really know who she was. She was found on a street somewhere, and she claimed to be Princess Anastasia Romanov, the Tsar of Russia's youngest daughter. The Tsar's family was all killed, and there was a rumor that Anastasia was not killed, and so she said she was Anastasia. Quite frankly, she looked a lot like her. And the rest of her life, she claimed to be Anastasia Romanov. She claimed to be. However, when she died, DNA testing came around, and she didn't have a drop of Romanov blood in her body. She had lived her whole life as an imposter. Hey, and it was a big deal. She was claiming to be the heir to the Romanov jewels, the Romanov wealth that's in Europe. She would have been the heir, but it wasn't true. It wasn't true. Probably the biggest one, though, was a guy you've probably heard of. His name was William Abagnale. William Abagnale. William Abagnale, he was an imposter. In the 60s and 70s, he was an imposter. He passed as a TWA pilot, a Pan Am pilot, the assistant attorney general of the state of Louisiana, an emergency room doctor, a college sociology professor, and an FBI agent. In his life, he passed himself off as all of those. That's a big deal. Hey, if you have a medical emergency and you go to the ER, or if you're on a plane to Singapore or something, you want to make sure your pilot or your surgeon is like the real thing, not William Abagnale. It's a big deal. It matters. It matters a lot. In the late 70s, Abagnale finally got put in jail for check fraud. He was in there a short amount of time, and then he got out and he wrote a book, which turned into a 2002 Leonardo DiCaprio movie called Catch Me If You Can. And it was a really fun movie to watch, and it was his version of telling the story of how he was the world's biggest imposter, and he told the story. Now, what's so funny is since then, many of his stories are proven to be exaggerated and not even true. The truth bomb is, Abagnale was not so much of an imposter as he was a liar. He was a lying imposter. I'm telling you. We have to ask ourselves, did Jesus lie to us? Was he an imposter? Was he the real thing? If a person claims to be somebody that they're not, it matters. They're lying. They're an imposter. And nobody trusts a lying imposter. Nobody trusts anything Abagnale says, and he's still alive today. So it matters. Was Jesus really the divine Son of God? Was he? Or was Jesus just a good man that got exaggerated over time? You know, that was made into something beyond what he really was just over a course of time. Like Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett. King of the Wild Frontier, killed him a bear when he was only three. I doubt it. 3-year-olds don't generally kill bears. Or maybe George Washington. You know George Washington chopped down the cherry tree? You know the whole story that he chopped the cherry tree down and his father said, "Did you chop down the cherry tree?" And he said, "I cannot tell a lie." George Washington never told that story, but some guy 100 years later made it up because he needed something to brag on George Washington about. Well, is that Jesus? Is Jesus just something that got exaggerated over the years? Is Jesus really the third part of the Trinity? Is he just less consequential than he's been elevated to be over time? It matters. Most of us in this room have based our eternal lives on the fact that Jesus is our Savior, He's the Master, He's King of Kings, and He's coming to judge the earth one day. We've all said that's who we believe He is. We've bet our very souls on believing that He alone is our hope for eternal life, right? We've placed all our faith and all our belief in Jesus Christ as the most consequential one person in all of history. All of history. All eternity. Emmanuel, God with us. God in the flesh. That's what we say. Well, that matters. There's a lot resting on whether or not our faith is based on truth or if it's just some well-intentioned fairy tale. Many people who call themselves Christians in our present society or by the thousands deconstructing their faith and they're moving away from a view of Jesus that I just mentioned that to one that just fits their own wishes, that fits who they want Jesus to be so that the truth becomes just their truth. Their truth becomes the truth. But what we think about Jesus matters. What we believe about Him does matter. It matters a lot. I remember when I taught Bible at Kingwood School, I took our high school over to visit some places of other faiths. Like we went to a mosque and we went to a Hindu place and we went to a synagogue. And I remember taking all the young people into the synagogue and we sat there and we asked the rabbi in an Orthodox synagogue just to tell us a little bit about Judaism. And you know, they're all sitting there and he said some things and then somebody raised their hand and said, what do you believe about Jesus? And the rabbi said, well, he's a very famous but not that big a deal. And you ought to have seen the gasp in our group. He's very famous but not that big a deal. Because it went against everything we knew that was true. Because it matters. You know, there are a lot of people that believe the same thing the rabbi just said. There are a lot of people who believe Jesus was maybe important, but not that big a deal. Truth of God and truth about God is not based on majority rules. It's not based on how many people believe that. Truth is based solely on one thing, truth. Is it true? Jesus doesn't want us to just try to pawn Him off as some good teacher, some wonderful prophet, some outstanding example of humanity. That's what a lot of people say He is. He wants you to know and He wants us to declare that He is who He is, God, Savior of the world. And if you don't have Him, you don't have God. You may have a fine, upstanding religion, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. And that's the truth. And that's what Jesus was saying here. In the rest of John chapter 5, it's a long chapter. The rest of it, He simply continues His discourse telling them how He and the Father are the same. This is how He does it. One way is He and the Father do the same miraculous works. This is what He said in John 5, 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him what He does. Yeah, both the Father and the Son are able to give physical life to people and spiritual life to people. Jesus did what the Father does. Jesus healed the sick. raised the dead, multiplied food, calmed stormy seas, cast out demons, brought mental peace to people who were tortured by demons. Miraculous proofs. That should have signaled to the Pharisees there was something big about this Jesus guy. That's what it was supposed to do. Last week, Pastor Jay made the point, the main point was the miracle was a sign of who Jesus was and what God does. And the Pharisees missed the sign. They missed it. They should have seen it. It was a proof of who he was. It should have been proof to them that their Sabbath rule wasn't quite as important as what God said. Here's the other thing he said. He said, the Father gave him authority to judge the earth. Well, that's sort of a big deal. It says in John 5:22, moreover, the Father judges no one. He's entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Woo! Jesus just declared that he was not only the Son of God sent here, he was going to be able to judge. Can you just see these Pharisees, religious leaders, their faces melting by now? What in the world is he trying to say? Is it true? Paul said it. This is what Paul said in Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we believe. That's what is true. They both have equal power to execute judgment. And Jesus even said he gets to come in the last day and bring judgment to the earth. Both are deserving of that honor. And then he said this about him. He said, the Father sent him to fulfill scriptures. He reminded them all the proofs that were in the scriptures. From Abraham to Jacob, the Old Testament prophets, and especially Moses, when Moses explained the tabernacle and showed how the temple was supposed to run and the sacrifices and all the shedding of the blood and all of those things, they all pointed to Jesus. They all pointed to Jesus. We read them now, we see them all pointing to Jesus. And Jesus was saying, don't you understand? It's all been pointing to me the whole time. He even reminded them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But he said, you won't believe John the Baptist. You won't believe Moses. Look at what he said in John 5:46. If you believed Moses, you'd believe me too, for he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? So then Jesus unleashed the nuclear truth bomb on them. This is what he said. John 5:39, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Whew. The religious leaders were diligent in studying the Hebrew scriptures. I mean, letter by letter, point by point, interpret every little piece of the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with studying the ancient text or anything, but they missed the one who is the Word. They studied the Word and missed the one who is the Word. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. You know, God told us his name in the scripture. It's four letters, YHWH, and nobody knows exactly how they were pronounced, but it's probably something like Yahweh. You've heard that maybe, Yahweh. We sing songs, Yahweh. In King James Version, it's Jehovah, same kind of thing, all right, same word. Well, in the time of Jesus, you couldn't say that word. You couldn't say Yahweh. You weren't supposed to say it. Now, in the Old Testament, David wrote it, and they sang about it and said it all the time. But by the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, who made up rules, said, you can't say that name. It's too holy. Only God can say his name. Only God can say his name. You know what that name means? I am. Yahweh means I am. I am that I am. I am is what the word means. Yahweh, God, who always is. He was standing before them at his trial. He was standing before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin leader said, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, Yahweh. He said, I am. And the Bible says the priests fell backwards and ripped their clothes and started screaming because God said his name. Jesus was the only one around that could say it, and he said it to them. That's what it said to them. That's why they said, he's got to die. And from that moment, they said, kill him! Kill him! And they took him to a cross. All because he declared who he was. Jesus didn't say, I'm a great prophet. He doesn't claim to be just a good religious leader. When society says, oh, he's such a good teacher, the philosopher Jesus is so wonderful. Don't you realize that's an insult to the Son of God? We're lowering him to something that he is not. No, Jesus is the Son of God, not a son born like of a heavenly mama and daddy and they had a baby. It's not that kind of Son of God. It's just like I am the DNA of my mom and dad on earth. I'm their DNA. Jesus is made of everything the Heavenly Father was made out of. Same thing. Not DNA, but the same thing. Supposedly, they tell me, I have my mother's eyes. Marilyn was my mother. I have my mama's eyes and her huggy nature. She liked to hug. And my daddy's ears and teeth and personality. So I am Marilyn and Coolidge's son. Somebody will see me. I'll go back to Ashland. Pastor Ron and I went to Ashland not long ago and just walked around my little hometown, and people are going, oh, hey, you look just like your mom and daddy. Well, that's great, but let me tell you something. Jesus looks just like his father. That's why he's called the Son of God. That's what it means, just like the Father. He's divine. He's God in the flesh. Sent to us because the Father wanted to deal with us on our level, and that's why he came. God came here, God with us, Son of God, Emmanuel. That's what this whole truth bomb sermon is all about. Who is Jesus to you? I want you to understand what John wanted you to understand when he wrote this. Jesus is not just a good prophet, a good teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. He is God in the flesh, sent to us to bring eternal life, and only in him is there life. It is my desire that today, just by hearing what you've heard today, you can believe in Jesus more than you have ever believed in him because of who he is. John wrote this gospel for that reason, so we might believe. It does matter. But it's not just an intellectual, oh, I believe this doctrine. It's not that. It's a relationship with Christ, to where Christ becomes the most important thing in our lives, the most important thing at all. There's a prayer. Peggy and I were watching a documentary the other day. It was a prayer that a Celtic father, a Celtic priest had written a long time ago. That he was one who spent so much time with God. He spent a lot of time with God, and he wrote a prayer that basically said this. He said this about his life. He said, Christ in my speaking, in my thinking, in my sleeping, in my waking, in my watching, in my hoping, in my life, in my lips, in my soul, in my heart, and in my eternity. That's what Christ was to him. And that's what God says to be the most important thing in us. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. That's what the scripture says. That's who he is. So I'm going to close now. And I want to share with you what I believe are three truths, truth bombs today from just the text that I've read to you. Three that I want you to take home, and I want you to deeply believe them and deeply trust them. Number one, I can personally know God as my Father. Because of Jesus, I have joined the family of God. And it's not wrong for me to say, my Father. We sang a song about it today. There's no Father like you, just my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father. We are His family. We're part of His family. I have access to my Heavenly Father. That's amazing to me. He knows my name. The Bible says He's written my name in the palm of His hand. You know what that means? I'm always in front of Him. Well, so are you, because He's big enough to handle all of us. At the same time, that's a Father right there. Here's the second truth bomb that I want you to really believe, truly and deeply believe. I can trust God's word is truth, and every word of it is true. Jesus used the scriptures to point to Himself and said, it's proof of me. I want you to know, guys, God gave us this word because it's truth. It's truth. Every word of it. You can trust what God says in His word. You can trust it. It's a faithful record of what God has done and a faithful map to show us how to live our life. Here's the third one. I can also do the works of my Father as He leads me. Does that blow your mind? That's what God says. We get to do the works of our Father too. That's why He said, whatever I've done, I want you to do. I want you to follow me. I want you to do the same things I've done. He even said to His disciples, greater things than these shall you do because I go to my Father. When Jesus went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, now there's not one Jesus walking around. There's a lot of Jesuses walking around because God lives in all of our hearts. We're not Jesus of Nazareth, but He lives in me. And through the Holy Spirit, I get to do things. I get to tell people the good news. I get to win people to Christ. I get to pray for people to be healed. I get to see miracles happen. I get to walk with God on a daily basis. I get to bring life into people. I get to love people that are unlovable. I get to do those things. I get to do the works of God too. I have to deeply believe it. He's not up there just mashing buttons, making things happen. He's inside of me, letting my hands and my feet do those things. And you know what? He not only is in Mark, He is not just in me, He's in me plus you. That means the church of Jesus Christ, this local one and worldwide, the one in Southeast Asia as well, all the people of God, we should be about His business. My favorite verse in this whole thing is where Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. That should be what Mark Sims wants to do all the time, is whatever I see my Father doing. And God will talk to me and tell me what to do. He will. I just need to say, God, what do you want? I need to keep myself open. God can speak to us. But guess what? God also says that to Kingwood Church. That's why we seek and say, God, what do you want us to do? The reason we say we want to be a hope, a movement of hope to Shelby County is because God told us that is what He wanted us to be. We're trying to do what God told Kingwood Church to do. The church worldwide should be doing what God told the church to do. Go ye therefore into every nation, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you. We should see what our Father is doing and say, God, I want to do it too. That's how it works. God has a plan for me, God has a plan for you, and he doesn't hide it because we're not good enough or not smart enough. You don't have to go and get 14 degrees to find out the truths of God. He lives in you. He longs to reveal it to me and to you day by day as we learn to walk with him, as he empowers me through the Holy Spirit, as I learn to yield to him, as I learn to trust him, then he uses me more and more and more, and he will do the same for everyone in this room that knows Christ. In closing, I already said closing once. Pastor Ron, I'm just like you, buddy. In closing, twice. Here's the big truth bomb. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the big deal. You know, when Jesus dropped that truth bomb on folks, they had to make a decision whether they agreed with him or not. And I really feel like today God is saying to people here, you need to make a decision today. Are you gonna see Jesus as who he is, and are you gonna surrender to that? Are you gonna make room for him? Are you gonna make room for Jesus in you to be the one who gives you the orders, who says, this is what I want you to do, this is how I want you to live, this is the next step I want you to take? Some of you, the first step you need to take is to give your heart to Christ. Today, he is here, and you can become a child of God. He can become your father today. Some of you, I believe there are people in the room who, when our missionary was speaking today, when Nikki was speaking, some of you said, God, I feel some kind of a call to ministry or missions or something. There's some people in the room right now, when I said that, your heart started pounding because you're going, woo, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Maybe that's God going, you gonna let me in? You gonna let me in that part? Today may be your day to surrender to that. And then today, some of you feel so far away from God, and you know him, but you feel so far away from him. Something has happened that has just made you feel far away. I don't know if it's a hurt or if it's something you don't understand. It doesn't really matter, but God wants you to know he is with you, he's in you, and he wants to bring you his presence again today. He wants you to know him better today. He is going to reveal himself to you today. Would everyone stand with me, please? We're going to sing a song. The worship team's coming to sing a song about making room for Jesus. I want you, if you will, to answer that question. What do you believe about Jesus? Are you going to give him the room he asks? Today, as we sing this, ask yourself that question. And then in a moment, our prayer team is going to come. Those of you that are online with us, I just want you, if you will, to put in the comment section, pray for me. Pray for me right now. They will pray for you.